This is the first time in the gospel where Jesus begins to speak openly to his disciples that he must undergo a passion and a death and rise on the third day. And you can imagine how startled the disciples must have been. Right? They had been following their teacher and their rabbi for 2 years now. And they have witnessed amazing things. They have watched Jesus raise the little girl from the dead and heal the blind man. They'd seen with their own eyes how he opened the ears of a man born deaf. They had watched as he had cast out demons from people and preached the Sermon on the Mount. They'd been with him, though, also when he went back to his hometown and they rejected him and they began to try to stone him. So the apostles had witnessed all of this. But they had high hopes, right? Jesus is the Messiah, which means he's going to liberate Israel and bring about this great season for the Jewish people. But all of a sudden, he's talking about death. Now, I imagine this didn't completely catch them off guard because they had also watched Jesus get into serious confrontation with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. It doesn't go well for you when you call the religious leaders, "You brood of vipers! Woe to you!" Time and time again, he had confrontation with them, calling them out for their hypocrisy. And yet, this time it's different. Because in the gospel, Jesus is speaking openly as if it's inevitable. He must go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die and to rise. And for the apostles, as faithful Jews, this makes no sense. Certainly, the Jews believed, some of them, in the resurrection of the dead, which meant that at the end of time, those who were good would rise to be with God. But Jesus clearly means something different, and so the disciples are confused. What does he mean by resurrection? It doesn't even fit any of their categories of thinking about things. So you can imagine where Peter's coming from. He literally, as we heard in our gospel last Sunday, it made this beautiful act of faith that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And all of a sudden, he says, "God forbid it, Lord." It's as if Peter himself realized that this new authority that's been handed on to him is the rock. That his own destiny, his own future is tied up in what Jesus is saying about himself. And you could imagine the fear that he must have felt as Jesus was talking about going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. He knew all of a sudden that his own life was wrapped up in the destiny of Jesus. And so you can imagine the feeling of fear inside of him as he says, "God forbid it, Lord. It can't be so." And then Jesus rebukes Peter with very harsh words. "Get behind me, Satan. For you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings." Jesus is making it abundantly clear that if we use our own logic as human beings, our own rationale, the cross makes no sense. But in the divine reasoning, it makes perfect sense. Because love, to be unleashed, has to go beyond reason. Love takes an incalculable risk to make itself manifest. And that's what we see in the cross as Jesus foretells it. But it's not enough, he said, for him to suffer. He said his disciples must also take up their cross. Now, none of us need to go asking the Lord to send us crosses in our lives. That would be very foolish. I think we know that suffering comes our way. But the Lord is giving us this lesson today, that when we find ourselves like him, faced with a cross, with suffering, and we can't make sense of it, that we can turn to him and realize that it is an opportunity to be schooled by Jesus himself in what real love looks like. A love that gives without limits. A love that holds nothing back. And so the lesson for us today, brothers and sisters, is that our lives make no sense without Christ. And if we live our lives with Christ, they make no sense if we build our lives seeking only self-protection and comfort. Our lives only make sense, and we only become fully alive and truly ourselves when we imitate this type of love for one another. When we let our lives be about self-giving. So let us turn in gratitude today for the gift of the Lord's cross and ask him to teach us as we receive his body and blood in the Eucharist today how to live that out in our own lives.